Hey guys, Scott here, telling you to go check out our friends at DoghouseSystems.com. At DoghouseSystems.com, you can get incredible deals on great gaming rigs and play like the pros do. I love mine. Oh man. Seriously. Is it improper to make out with your computer? Because that's what I feel like doing right now with my Doghouse system. It's an amazing time to be a PC gamer. They will take incredible care of you. The best warranty, the best coverage, the best people in the industry. I love them. And I'm not kidding. I don't just back these guys because willy-nilly, wicky-wacky, right? I mean it. They also want to save you some money and give you a cool deal. Check this out. Use the code FROGPANTS at checkout. FROGPANTS at checkout over at DoghouseSystems.com and get a 120 gigabyte SSD drive totally free. That's in addition to the default 1 terabyte drive that's already in there. A free 120 gig SSD solid state drive for free. Use the code FROGPANTS at DoghouseSystems.com today.
The instance? Oops.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance Podcast, episode 405. Wow. Still seems weird to say over 400 for me. My stain is Scott Johnson. For some reason, I said stain, not name. Hello, everybody. Also with me, Patrick Beja of France. Hello, Patrick.
That is actually little known fact. That is indeed my full legal name.
Is it Patrick Beja of France?
Exactly.
Yeah. We used to call you Patrick from France, but of France has a certain, I don't know, je
nobility
ne sais quoi.
To it.
Okay, yeah. I was going to use a French word, but it's good to have you here. The other two chuckleheads should be here. Dill's had to do something for a roommate again, and I think he's will probably pop in later. I don't know for sure, but one would expect. Oh, look, there's a chat here. Oh, parked, walking
he
back.
He was saying he's yeah, the I'm parked. He's basically telling us to the minute what is happening. So now his car is parked, and he's going to join in a few, yeah. He said. But that was like 15 minutes ago. So I don't know how big his parking is.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's his apartment, you know. He's already in his apartment, but he's running towards the computer. It's just so big.
Yeah.
That it takes, you know, about 15 minutes.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. But all I know is if you live somewhere between California and New York, estimate how long it takes you to park something and then put yourself in San Francisco and add like 30 minutes because it's kind of hard to do that there.
In Paris, it's horrible as well.
Oh, I bet it is. You know, one day I'm coming there. You know I'm coming there. Kim and I, we're going to come to Paris.
So you've been saying this. Turkey, my friend from the Phileas Club, has been saying this. The Spags have been saying this. Even Terpster, who I actually hope never comes to Paris, has been saying this. And no one ever comes.
I wonder why that is. Are we just trying to appease you or get you excited or what's our deal?
I don't know. I think you had a secret meeting at some point behind my back and you were like, all right, so this quarter, it's me who's going to say I'm going to come to Paris next April. And then I'm disappointed. It's very, very difficult for me to keep hearing these things.
I understand. Kim's pushing for it hard. She really wants to go. And I do too. I actually think it'd be great. Our biggest problem, I think, is a trip to Paris always seemed like a thing I'd do when the kids were grown up and out. And that seemed so far away not that long ago. But these days, it doesn't feel that far away. Like Carter turns 18 this year. She graduates high school in a few months.
Wow.
She'll be off to college. And Nick is 14 going on 30, I swear. So it's possible. Maybe the trip would be Kim, I, and Nick. We take Nick there for like a trip or something. I don't know. We're working on the idea. Let's just put it that way. Let's get past BlizzCon 2015. Let's get past all the other crap I got to do this year. But there's a chance one day, a French Paris meetup. Me, Patrick, and Instance fans everywhere.
That would be very exciting. I'm ready. You did it again, Johnson.
I did it again.
You got me excited.
Okay, hold on. I need to type a group message to my friends in the meeting about, I did it again, you guys. Patrick's been fooled. All right. Well, we're hoping the other two will pop in. Dill said he will here shortly, and I have not heard from Terpster, but hopefully he'll show up as well. We've got things to talk about. A real quick mention, people have been genuinely interested in my drought in raiding and why I haven't gotten any good gear in a long time. And it was about, I don't know, 8 to 10 runs with nothing, despite bonus rolls, despite, you know, showing up and being there. I missed a couple of nights, but, and the one, of course, you know, a couple of nights I did miss, something dropped that I could have totally used. And even the one night, the thing I really wanted, there were no hunters there that night, which is ridiculous because normally we have four on this team. Anyway, last night raided, had a great time as always, streamed the whole thing. So some of you saw that and thanks for showing up for that. But, ended up getting a chest piece I needed bad and, bumped my gear. I level up and I felt pretty good about it. So yeah, it was nice. It was nice to break the chain a little bit. In Vegas, I'd be broke already and there wouldn't have been another chance, but here in
you know, the bigger question here is, whatever will you complain about now? Now that you can't complain about that.
I know what I'll complain about. Here's two things I'll complain about.
Okay.
Nova and the Lost Vikings. I will complain about them for a while because they are not, look, I'm not here to say they're OP. Certainly somehow they can be countered. Perhaps it'll take two people to do it in Heroes of the Storm. But those two characters, and I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Those four characters, because that's how it feels.
It's three characters, Scott.
Oh, shit. There he is. It's Dills. Dills, how you doing, man?
No, because he was good. Talking about Jaina as well.
Yeah, not Jaina. Nova. Jaina, okay. No, Jaina's fine. Nova's my real pain in my butt.
Fine. Oh, sorry. Just kill Jaina.
Yeah, Nova's a real pain in my arse. And as soon as we ended raid last night, I went out and just did a quick match. And once again, Nova is just the bane of my existence. She's just, if you play her right and you've got a good player behind that, and even if the rest of the team blows, they're still a threat.
So and, you're complaining about Nova and the Lost Vikings.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Well, then you must be playing really good players because those characters are really bad unless someone's good at them.
Well, I think that's the trick, right? If they're bad, and I've seen them played badly. Like, Lili's a real threat.
Lili's just good no matter what.
Yeah.
Anybody can go in there and mash buttons and sure. Be effective with
these. That's what I really liked. You keep saying how much you love Heroes, Scott, or for the past 10 days or 2 weeks or so.
I can't stop.
And no. I went in again and tried to play a little bit. I didn't really enjoy it. And then I came across Lili, who was playable at that point. And it's actually a lot easier for beginners because you don't have to worry about targeting all that much. You just stick around where you're needed and press the right button almost continuously.
Yeah.
And it kind of works. And that is a very easy entryway into Heroes, it feels.
I would agree. I really like that, and if you want to try some ranged assassin stuff, I think Raynor's a good entry point. And there's a few characters where you can just hop in and go, and then, you know, then things get
but
weird
even
after that.
But even that, you know, when you have to actually worry about placement and targeting at the same time, for a noob like me, who's possibly really bad at the game anyway, it's confusing. It's too much. Two things at once is too much for me.
Yeah, it can be a little
overwhelming. The skill shots. Yeah, a lot of the characters have the skill shot. That's a big thing in MOBAs. It always has been, but Lili doesn't have to worry about that. Nova is very dependent on the skill shot, though.
Yeah, and that's why when in the right hands, man, gosh. Also, I would say if you're, you know, Diablo, I would say is a middle of the road in terms of difficulty and effectiveness. He's just kind of there, big old hulking idiot. But occasionally, someone will pop in there who really has their hand around what Diablo needs to be and do. And good Lord, he's the tank I fear the most often. It just depends on who's playing him. But I love that game. I don't know what's going on. You asked me 2 years ago if I'd have cared two pieces of poo about a quote-unquote MOBA, and in their case, Brawler or whatever they're calling it. I hated them all. And I've done a little experiment since. I've been playing Heroes so much, I thought, well, let me just play a couple of League matches and a Dota match and just see where my head's at. Now that I feel like I've got my head wrapped around this. I'm winning more matches than I'm losing, even in solo queues in Heroes, and it's feeling really good. And Thrall is the freaking badass, and I freaking love him. I love him. I love Thrall in this game. I go and play those other games, and I have a terrible time again. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's not just the toxic thing. It's not all that. It's just I don't like how they feel. I don't like their reliance on overly complicated store crap. look, and I know there are players out there who've got that all down, and that is great. I'm super excited for you that you found the skill set you want and what you want to do. But I think Heroes just is singing to my soul. And it plus, you know, the look of it, the feel of it, the story, the characters, it's all stuff I already loved anyway. It's not like hard for me to get excited about the idea that Sylvanas will be out next week and I want to play her real bad. And most of that is because Sylvanas is a badass.
You're not excited about playing Lee Sin?
No.
You didn't get super excited when Lee Sin was a new
hero? I wasn't. Okay. Not at all. Right. What I really want is the ones they promised at BlizzCon, or not promised, but that they were working on is both that Heaven and Hell map. I want that real bad.
Oh, yeah, that looks pretty cool.
Looks
yeah.
really good. And I also really want the Butcher from Diablo 3. That might be my first tank that I'll genuinely try to get into. Asmodan's pretty good, and I play him here and there. But I just love that game. I just love it. I freaking love it. It's their Smash Brothers in the, you know, kind of character way. It's certainly their MOBA. And the more I play it, the more I love it. I've been playing more with friends. I've been playing plenty of solo, but lots of friends stuff, lots of listeners.
Yeah, play with people because that's really the funnest. Like last night, so we got done with Raid. I streamed a little bit, did an arena run, and then we played three games and just grabbed whoever was still in the stream and wanted to play and got five people. And we won three in a row, and it was incredibly fun.
Yeah, it feels so good. Yeah. Here's just a tiny bit of advice that we learned, myself, Scott Kurtz, Jeff Cannata, and a couple of others. Saturday nights, that's when the good players are playing. Because if you want to get your ass handed to you constantly, that's when you want to play a Saturday nights. Anyway, it's really
fun. What
level
are you right now, Scott? Because once you get to 30, we can start doing Hero League.
I know. I want to do that real bad. I know Garrett's in there. I forget already. I think I'm in the 25, 26-something range character level. Or not, account level, rather. I guess that's the difference.
Yeah, account level always be high. Yeah, character levels are usually like
7,
like I don't
8.
Think I have a few who's over 10.
Yeah, I have 1, 10, and I have a couple 7s and a few 6s, and yeah. But I need to do the booster. That's one thing I know a lot of people are doing. That's a pretty good value for $10 for a month, the stim pack. So I probably will kick that in today. I'm always hesitant because then I feel like it's going to make me want to play even more, and I don't have time for more right now. Like, I got plenty going on. But anyway, it's fun. That game's great. And Raid was fun last night. And I'm just I feel like I'm all Blizzard all the time right now. Kind of having one of those gaming pockets in my life where that's just, I just care about their games.
I've been playing Hearthstone a lot recently. And I know you don't enjoy Hearthstone as much, but...
it's not that I don't enjoy it. I just suck at it. I enjoy it when I win, which is so rare, but... No, I mean, look, that thing is a juggernaut. You and Terpster both this week, I've noticed, are just out of control.
It's so much. You know, I've played a lot before, but getting back into it now, and I can't wait for Blackrock Mountain. It's anyway, Blizzard show. We're supposed to talk about World.
Yeah,
Blizzard.
We'll talk about WoW. There's not a lot of WoW things happen this week, but there's a few.
We can talk about Hearthstone more. That's fine with me.
10% PVD. Yeah, they took back a change. That's huge.
That was kind of a big deal. We'll get to that in a sec as well. I wanted to make a quick announcement, and then we'll dive into this news. The announcement is this. Terpster is not here. No, that's not the announcement. We already knew that. He's not here. He may be here later. The big news is starting this Saturday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., a three-hour block on Saturday, that specific time, I will start. It's a paid gig. I should mention that because it's important, I suppose, to full disclosure. But I've been asked by NVIDIA to be a part of their Twitch stream team, which currently includes Swifty and a bunch of other streamers. They do blocks of streaming all week, and they've given me a three-hour block on the weekend to start a new show that will be a little different than usual. There'll be a bunch of streaming, a bunch of games being played with friends and colleagues and different Frog Panthers and fans and stuff like that. And we'll be doing that live with a lot of commentary and hopefully a lot of entertaining commentary, but also a big chunk of that will be, you know, more curated. I wouldn't say podcast style necessarily, but, you know, more what I'm known for. That's why they want me. So I'm really stoked about it. Very excited to be a part of it. And if you guys want to be there and hang out, it's at twitch.tv/NVIDIA. And it will be, again, Saturday, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. Oh, and the show's called Experience Points. So there you go. which is also the name of a comic I draw. So,
yeah. You finally brought back experience points.
Yeah, finally. After all this time. Actually, that comic still runs once a month in a magazine, but you guys don't subscribe, so you probably haven't seen it. But, yeah, trying to spread myself wide and thin. And this my Saturdays are now destroyed, and I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to do it for the listeners and for the fans, so come on out.
And for the money.
And there's a good chance, I would say a better than almost perfect chance, that all of the instance people will show up at some point or another to play little heroes, to play a little something else, to play whatever. I really want to get Dills on there and do some Hearthstone fun.
Hey, I'm standing right here.
I want Patrick on there just to make fun
of. What rank are you at, Patrick?
Yeah,
what rank did you get to? I saw you were tweeting. You're moving up.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to rank 15, I think, with my multi-tool druid, which is like a...
That's you still playing that deck? No.
Yes. No. All right. I played it, and now I moved on. I know it
we
was
gotta
bad.
We got to get you to play some like Zoo or some Mech Mage or something.
Not
like
Zoo. Zoo is for like people who are small. It's what? Like the people who... Zoo is bad. I don't like it.
Zoo is like, really difficult to play, actually. It's a really complicated deck. Yes.
Okay.
You have to place your minions just right, and you have to know when to tap and not to tap and all that stuff. It's actually hard.
Okay. All right. I'll you know.
Face Hunter, you can say that. Face Hunter, okay. I will allow you to say that. Fair enough. That's for small people.
But no, I got...
Hey, that sounds like me. I'll play the Face Hunter.
Face Hunter. Yeah, we should actually, Scott. You have me on.
All right.
We'll build you a real good Face Hunter deck.
Let's do that.
I'm sure we have the cards to do it.
We'll totally and do that.
We'll just wreck every face. Card you play, go face. And that's it. There's nothing to choose. Amazing. You just hit face.
I look forward to suffering at your hands. It'll be
small
fun.
Choices, but so, those choices matter. But yes, most of the choices are, should I go face? Yes.
Yeah.
There's a not a 50-50 chance that you should go face. But no, I'm now ranked 13. I built a new GVG druid deck, and it's kind of cool, and I just tried it today. It's fun, and I'm sort of now the big question is, should I buy some packs? And I'm not 100% sure, and if I do, should I buy like old packs or new packs? It depends on what I want to play, I guess. I might build a deck, a mech mage, but then I would need to buy lots of GVG packs because I've never bought anything. So anyway, yeah, I'm ranked 13 now, and it's okay. I'm happy with it.
I know last week Terpster claims he spent multiple hundreds of dollars on cards.
Did he?
Yeah, he's saying
he's trying to get to legend this season.
He is, yeah.
Yeah,
I think he has tried to buy every card he can possibly. It may literally kind of be a problem, like money just flowing toward that game, which, you know, look, it's a percentage game, right? Blizzard only needs a certain percentage of people to play like Terpster is playing, and they're making bank all year long. So good job, Terpster.
But I think I really think they're getting more people who play. Who pay in that game than other games. I have no indication that that's the case, but my gut feeling is the thing is when you pay for the things in Hearthstone, it usually feels good no matter what you know, you don't regret it. You always get something out of it. Yes, it sucks if you buy, you know, 20 packs and you don't get the legendary, but you still get stuff. You get epics, you get dust, you get stuff to build the deck you want. So, and I actually just pre-purchased the Blackrock Mountain expansion, so I have my card back, which I'm proudly showing.
That molten back is badass. It's really cool.
Yeah. It feels like people aren't as, you know, it's definitely not the kind of game where you throw money at and then you're like, well, that's money down the toilet. I didn't get anything for after the fact.
Yeah, people seem happy with it. I think the dust and crafting system helps that feel better no matter what.
Well, yeah, sure. So if anybody's played like Magic Online or Magic the Gathering paper game or anything, any of that stuff, it's really difficult to gain cards. So I've heard people complain about Hearthstone. It's like, it's so expensive to you know, get the deck I want or whatever. I looked up how much it would cost me to play a current meta competitive deck if I bought the individual cards in Magic.
Yeah.
And it was like $350.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Because some of the land cards, which are just mana, right? which you just get every turn in Hearthstone. Those land cards, because they represent two different colors of mana, some of those cost like $20.
Oh my
because
gosh.
They're really specific Jeez. Land cards that do something very powerful, which is give you instant mana of one or two colors, right, the turn you play them. And that's really good. That's a really, really good thing to be able to do in Magic.
Yeah.
Those cards are the most expensive cards. Like the Planeswalker cards, which are the big crazy cards that are kind of like the, like I would call the legendaries, right?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
They're, you know, the cards that like you can go up or down and they'll have different abilities based on what you do. Those cards are like $15. The land cards were like $22.
Per card?
Yeah. Per card.
Yeah. That's insanity to me.
Yes. You know, the thing is with Hearthstone, I think you can, since the common cards are only 40 dust to create, which is not a huge amount.
No, it's not bad.
You can really create a somewhat effective deck with relatively little investment.
Yeah.
How, Dils,
there's good
what
decks
would you
that
say,
cost like nothing. You know?
Yeah, yeah. What would you say like satisfying rank is like you're when you look at someone, obviously if they're ranked 20, you're like, okay, you just started playing. If they're ranked 15 or at what point do you think that person knows how to play?
I think when you get to like
not
rank
an expert
10,
but you know average.
I think when you get to rank 10, I would say that you're someone who spends time playing Hearthstone every month. Like that's I think the kind of like, because yeah, rank 20 you can get to without, you could just play, I don't know, 10 games a month. And you'll always get to rank 20 because you never lose stars from, you know, lower than rank 20. Rank like 15 or so means like you played a little and you won some games and you lost some games or whatever. But like when you get to rank 10, I think it's like, okay, I'm playing
serious.
I'm playing Hearthstone.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
okay. And
five is
rank
really
10,
good. Legend is crazy.
Yeah. Right. Right. But getting to rank 10, I think is entirely possible, but with, you know, buying really only a few deck, a few packs, even if you're unlucky, or even not spending any money at all. After a few weeks, you'll have enough stuff to create, I don't know, the 5 to 10 common cards you need to be somewhat effective. I guess maybe you need to get Naxxramas to get some of those cards.
No, not necessarily. There's decks. I could take an entirely basic deck, and I could build you something that could get you to rank 10 reliably.
And actually, Trump got to rent to legend with decks, free
with
decks
free
without
play,
any, basic decks, not even stuff that you would earn after a while.
Well, he
with every class, right?
So. Not every class, no. But he did it with Warlock, and he did it with Hunter, and he did it with a few different classes. But petered out on that. But he didn't do it with only basic cards, but he did it with a free to play account. Like he started a brand new account,
right,
and then like, you know, did his free arena run, got a pack that way, did a couple things, so, and then like crafted just whatever he could and got to legend with a brand new account.
That's crazy. Or not so crazy, but cool, because if anything, that gives me a little hope, you know.
Yeah, well, like, here's the thing though, Trump has also the ability to sit there and play every single day all day, because that's what he does for a job. So it's not like he proved that anybody can do it.
Right.
But he did prove that it's possible.
He proved it's possible. Yeah. But I think the more encouraging thing is that getting the right common cards can change everything for your ability to rank up.
As long as you know what cards work well together, you can build these decks, because the basic cards, even though they are very basic and they don't seem very powerful, they're just as powerful as, like, the legendary cards are actually balanced in most cases. So they actually aren't necessarily more powerful for their mana cost than something that costs the same as a basic card. And that's kind of important for a game like Hearthstone to work out. Magic is not that way at all, by the way. Magic is like, the best cards are the rare cards, and the common cards are all crap.
Right.
And it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck, but it's also that in a physical world that works. That was true of the WoW CCG as well. The WoW CCG was the same thing. It was like crappy.
It's two different, like complete different archetypes when you're talking about a card game.
And sure.
And it's fine. They borrow from each other. Well, Hearthstone borrows from Magic more than, yeah.
The other way around, obviously. I mean, that whole thing came out of them playing Magic too much at the office and thought we should make a thing. So, yeah, it makes sense.
But it's cool that you guys are all kind of like Terpster getting into it and playing a lot, and Patrick, you getting back into it and playing. It's cool. Now we just got to convince Scott.
Well, I just spent $10 on cards. I hope maybe that counts for something. Yeah. Because every time I talk to you weirdos, I go, what am I doing wrong? All right, fine, blah, blah, blah. And I'll listen to the angry chick and I get mad about something I did wrong or whatever. And I'll, you know, go back to the drawing board or whatever. So, yeah, it's.
I'm serious. I play Arena, man. Like, Arena, yes, it's weird.
I don't know. It's complicated.
You're on a level playing field. Everyone has access to the exact same cards.
Yeah.
So if you don't have cards,
the thing is, in order.
Yeah.
But in order to achieve something in Arena, you already kind of have a grasp. You have to have a grasp of how to play. And I think the biggest – is it okay that we're talking about Hearthstone for so
listen,
long?
Yeah, listen. I want to tell you guys about an elephant that's in the room. Here's the elephant in the room. The instance has always been able to talk about lots of Blizzard things outside.
Yeah, we always do this.
So don't worry about it. I know there's still people occasionally go, hey, how about a little wow in your Hearthstone podcast? I don't care. It's the elephant in the room is we talk about a lot of Blizzard stuff in conjunction with WoW as a primary focus. It's totally fine. Go ahead.
Cool. So the most interesting thing, honestly, was when I watched it was the Katowice. I think it's pronounced Katowice.
Katowice, yes.
You were wondering, yeah.
We were wondering, because, yeah. But I trust Nymph. She said Katowice.
Yeah, he's Polish too. So anyway, so I was watching the finals. And for almost every turn, I was looking at the cards that were available and thinking what I would do in that situation. And almost every turn, the pro player who actually knows how to get the best out of those cards did something different that I didn't think about. And every time, and I was like, well, your instinct tells you there isn't a million ways of, maybe there are two or three different options if you put this card before the other one, but really there are a lot of different ways of approaching each mini problem that is every turn. And when you look at those, it gives you ideas. And one thing I was doing as well today, actually, I was streaming and I was doing my play and sort of getting the audience, Garrett was in it actually, to tell me what I did wrong. And in some cases, I did the right play. But in other cases, I did something that didn't, you know, it could have been improved. And I think, Scott, that might be something that you can do to improve is on a very simple level, you stream. You do the play you wanted to do, and you have the people watching tell you, actually, that would have been better because it puts it in context and you understand how you could have improved your
That's
your
a good idea. And I have no problem embarrassing myself on stream.
Twitch chat always knows. I got 12 wins in Arena last night when I did my little stream.
Yeah.
Gosh, and I hate you.
And I missed lethal 3 times. I did all sorts of bad plays. Everyone in Twitch chat was telling me, how I should have done this or that or whatever. And, you know, that's fine. There's always going to be a different way to approach a turn. There's lots of complicated turns where I did find lethal and did make the good play or whatever, but it's not like the game is very, very complex and there's always going to be room to like improve your play. But just, yeah, like I think Arena is a good place to start for people because it's, you're on a level playing field, first of all. And the thing is like, 12 wins is the like that's reaching legend, right? In Arena.
Yeah.
And so like I've never reached legend, but I can get to 12 wins in Arena and it's like I feel like I accomplished something. And it's like, cool, I did that in a night. I don't need to grind for a month to do this.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
That feeling of accomplishment is like on a smaller scale, but you can still feel that sense of accomplishment, right? So beat your previous best, right? Get 5 wins or something will make you feel really good.
Yeah. Well,
a word of caution, though, on Arena. I think a lot of people have unrealistic expectations. People think, you know, 12 is the best, so I should be able to do like 7, and, you know, achievable. Yeah. It's like getting
most people
to
go
3.
And 3.
Yeah, exactly. 3 and 3 is already not horrible.
Sure.
You've won 3 games. It's average. But there are people who win 12 games who get out of the Arena completely, you know, 4 people.
Yeah, without the
third
loss.
So it's 1-4. Getting 3 wins is already not too bad. So if you go in with that mindset, and you get the the pack, and usually enough to kind of make up for a difference in price. So three, if you understand that three wins isn't bad, I would say go for it.
Yeah, four and up actually means that you got your 150 Money's, gold worth.
Yeah,
every single time, no matter what.
You got your poop together.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
All right. Well, Scott, maybe I can come on experience points or something. We can run through some stuff.
Absolutely. We have to do that. Yeah.
And one day, Dills, you have to coach me. I notice you stream when I wake up all the time. I should like hassle you.
Well, if you just quit going to bed at 4:30 in the morning, you might get up a little earlier. Exactly. All right. Well, let's. We do have some WoW news today. Of course, it's a WoW show, and here it is. They boosted item levels, and it was all kind of confusing to me. They did this hot fix where, and a bunch of people were pissed because they were like, well, should we cancel our raid night, wait till this is over? Because we don't want to get our gear if it's going to be bumped up and boosted.
They just boosted the stuff. If you had it, it got boosted. If you didn't have it, it
got
boosted.
If you already had the stuff, the boost applied. I don't know why people were flipping out, but they were. There was a bunch of back and forth. I guess so. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that. But anyway, the upshot is, stuff that is dropping in Foundry is better. The Legendary Ring even got a nice boost. The final stage of that thing got a nice boost. So
five eye levels.
Isn't that crazy? It seems. What do you suppose this? What was this adjustment for?
I mean, I feel like it's. I don't know. They did the squish, right? So everything's been squished a little bit, and maybe they just felt like we squished a little too much as far as this is concerned. This should have been. I guess they felt like this as a second step in the raid.
Right.
The gear should have been better than it was.
Yeah, but it explains why when I went to log in, and I'm still rocking a couple of blues, I'm not thrilled with my, current state.
But you're rocking a really nice bow.
Yeah, the bow's
all
right.
And you were, worried about getting a bow.
I know, I don't know what I was doing.
I inspected you, and I was like, Scott, you don't need that bow, dude.
I don't know what I was thinking. For weeks now, I've obsessed about that bow, and the entire time had a better bow. I don't know what I was hovering over.
Bow, equipped.
It was real stupid.
Wouldn't it have been funny if you had gotten that new bow, disenchanted the other one, and then you were like, oh,
and the DPS went down.
Well, I would have checked it in raid, and I would have been all disappointed. But, it's stupid the way that all worked out. But here's the thing that I noticed. I went to go, I logged in yesterday to do some garrisons, and I was just checking stuff, and I looked at my eye level and went, oh, suddenly I'm, five eye levels per piece of gear higher than I was before. And met my overall number average was higher.
Yeah,
I forgot they were even going to do this. So I don't know why anyone's complaining. We just got a free boost.
It's just because it needed to be a better step than it was. It wasn't as good of a step.
Yeah,
like some of the high mall
rewarding
stuff was
enough
close. Yeah, too close to what the Blackrock Foundry stuff was. So.
Right, and now Foundry should be able to get into
pretty
and
simple.
Be ready to do more Foundry and not feel so overwhelmed by it. I think. I've done LFR and then we've done one run in there, I think, as a group. Did all that trash and then the first boss. And I really don't like Foundry's trash. And I know this comes
LFR
up.
LFR is annoying in Foundry because of the trash.
It's like real
it's
bad.
Just, because LFR is already annoying, because it's people that you don't know and they kind of suck and everyone's mad at each other instantly, which sucks. but. When you go in there and then you have to clear a bunch of trash, that's just no one's having fun.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to when that goes. I know it's happening. Right?
Are you saying the enrage timer on LFR is less than 2 seconds? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. The enrage timer on the boss is not as high as the enrage timer on my tank.
Yeah. I wish I could shoot my teammates with a trank shot and everybody would calm down.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Dude, what happened with misdirection, by the way? Can anybody in the chat room tell me?
Yeah, same
I
deal.
Misdirect last night.
Same deal. The focus, the standard ass macro I've had for a year or more doesn't work now.
And I guess I should have tried getting rid of the macro, just putting the vanilla button in and seeing what happened, but I didn't. But did something change? Am I missing something?
Something changed. It's not working on my pet either when you don't have a focus. Because it's the macro that does.
It goes just to your pet if you have no focus target.
Yeah.
And you have no actual target.
Yeah.
It just automatically says, okay, first priority is pet. Second priority is if I have a focus target that. Then if I don't have that, then it's the target I currently have or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
So, something changed. Hot fix something or change something. But I'm sure they're aware. They got to be aware of it by now because we couldn't have been the only two noticing it. But Was I going to say I hate it when things like that crop up in the middle of a raid because you can't do anything about it. You're just kind of like,
yeah. I was just like, I guess I'm not. And we had a new tank last night, and so I'm just like, I want to help him by misdirecting aggro to him and making things easier, and I couldn't. And yeah. It was annoying.
Good job, Kephas. You were fine. You did a fine job. The guy is blind. All right,
he can't even see, and he's tanking a raid.
He's literally legally blind. Like, we're not making that up. Like, this guy, I'm supposed to get him on the show eventually Q&A.
How does he do it? It would be fascinating.
Crazy.
To hear
we're gonna do an interview on this show, and I just need to schedule it because I want to know all the ins and outs and specifics. But part of it includes, get this, part of it includes an Xbox 360 controller, a bunch of hacked in software that allows that to be part of his interface. It's not like he's sitting there Halo style with it. He's using that with like a hand somewhere. Then keyboard stuff over here, a bunch of UI mods that are totally whacked out to do things that he can see, you know, with big shapes and stuff. But it's
so
insane.
He's legally blind, meaning, but he can still see a few colors.
He can see that he's number one on the DPS meter.
Yeah, that's the thing with this guy. He owns it. Like, whatever he's trying to do, he does. Like, it makes me feel like a putz. Because
like, I can actually kind of see stuff.
Yeah.
How is it that I can't?
I'm sighted. Yeah, I'm sighted. I can see everything. I know what's going on, yet somehow he just dominates and also has just this incredible attitude about it. We just have to get him on and talk about it because.
Yeah, you should.
Super interesting guy. Also, PvP damage reduction hotfix got reverted. And that was, talk about your outcries. It says this here. We recently applied a hotfix that reduced damage players took in PvP by 10%. Our goal was to reduce damage across the board in order to slow matches down a bit. However, we received overwhelming feedback, which was not easy or hard to see. It was everywhere. From players saying that this change did not result in a positive effect on the gameplay and that they preferred the faster-paced matches that they were experiencing prior to the hotfix. After some discussion, we decided to reverse it, and they removed it from the game. They say they'll continue to look forward to opportunities to improve PvP combat in the game. Thanks for your continued feedback. But that was one of those fast and furious responses where players were super not.
Well, it was a really bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Seems like a bad idea, doesn't it? Why do you think, what do you suppose the thinking was as the resident PvPer here?
I guess like there is at certain levels of gear, there is maybe a little bit of burst damage that's kind of crazy, but I also think though that those like players of that skill level and that amount of gear also have the tools to be able to mitigate the damage with their skills and stuff. And what this did was to everybody else, it just made PvP feel like you felt like you couldn't kill anybody. Mm. You're just running around. We're all just shooting each other in the face and no one's dying.
Yeah.
And healers just were completely OP. It sucked. It wasn't fun. It was like you'd go into a battleground and just be like, all right, well, I guess we're just waiting for the timer to run out. And that's not how PvP should work, right?
That seems bad.
You go in there and feel like you're killing people, you're dying, you're under the threat of death. It didn't feel like that at all. People would just run right into the middle of everybody and just stand there for a while and never die. I don't know.
I'm impressed that 10%, it's 10% seems like such a small number, you know?
That's a huge amount, though.
Yeah. What are you gonna say, Patrick?
That's what I was gonna say as well. You'll think 10%, it's not gonna make something that is fast paced, you know, completely turn it into something completely glacial. It might slow things down a little bit, but it's surprising that 10% is enough that it transforms the experience completely. It's always been a tough balance because if there's not enough damage happening, then healers rule everything and no one ever dies. Basically what's happened when they initially implanted the change. And if you're on, you know, if you're not exactly on the right balance and you go the other way, then everyone dies in a couple of seconds and you can't, it's not fun either because healers can keep anyone alive. And it's not, you know, the first one that attacks basically wins, more or less. So it's a really difficult balance to strike, and it seems like it was already stricken. So I'm not sure why they would think that. Was it broken? I don't really PvP.
Issue? There's some like really bursty combos that players can do that will just burst you down, and that felt bad, I guess, and that's why they decided to do this. But I think that bursty combos in PvP are just, that's part of the deal. And I think that you should have a threat of death. Like, death should be something that you have to be concerned with, right?
Sure. And
when they did this change, it what it does is, yeah, like you said, Patrick, it shifts the balance, right? So heavy damage dealers were kind of at the top of what you need. You could do like 3 DPS and 3s and win games because you were able to burst people out before they can out-heal you. Mm-hmm. But then with this change, it was like, oh yeah, if we don't have a healer, like, we just can't win now. Because the healers, they didn't get nerfed. Like, there wasn't like healing got reduced 10%, just damaged it.
Right? Oh, so good point.
It just shifts the balance and it shifts like the power level. And also, like, really tanky classes. Like, if I play like Gladiator, Stance, Warrior, I'm much better now because I was already hard to kill. And now you're doing 10% less damage to me. And my whole thing was like that I don't do much damage, but I'm hard to kill, right?
Mm.
So, like, if you take, like, compare it to like a hero's character like Diablo. Diablo doesn't do much damage, but Diablo's hard to kill, right?
Yeah.
And like, let's say you then said in Heroes, like, all damage reduced by 10%. Like, suddenly Diablo's in every single match because
right.
He was already hard to kill. Now he's impossible to kill.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it just got really frustrating and annoying. And yeah, the burst combos are also annoying, but I feel like they're less frustrating than never being able to kill anybody.
Well, plus a lot of that stuff is cooldown dependent. So I hate to use Heroes as another example of this, but some of the funnest moments in Heroes are when you've saved up your again bursty cooldowns. You can corner a dude and just lay waste at level, you know, 16 to 20. And it's an amazing feeling. Yeah. I wouldn't want to take that away from players. You know,
the problem is, sorry, Scott.
No, go ahead.
It's not fun for the guy who dies, but it's fun for you.
But it's more than that. The problem is in Arena, which is the top competitive, aspect of WoW. It's not like you die and you wait 30 seconds and then you come back and you have a chance to make up for it. In Arena, if that happens, then the match is over.
It
amplifies the consequences of that. So I understand why, if it happens in those instances, I understand why they thought they might need to fix it.
Well, from Dill's explanation, it almost sounds like they nerfed paper but left rock and scissors alone.
I don't think that's the issue. They nerfed one side of the game and didn't realize it would have as big an effect on all the other sides.
I think they just went a little too far, honestly. And I also think though that when you're talking about Arena in general, the players who decide that when they want a PvP and Arena is their choice, those players tend to be a little bit more serious about PvP, right? Like Battlegrounds. Like when you do this, it affects Battlegrounds a lot as well, which is that's the casual experience of PvP. But the Arena players, they should be able to kind of figure it out. Like they should be able to take how the game works and figure out how to, you know, come with the best strategy, right? But in this case, the best strategy was essentially never to die. And then you get in these, like there's like 45 minute time limit. You could actually be in it. I've been in a 45 minute arena and that's not fun. It's much funner to just die really quick and be like, I didn't push my shield button in time and let's queue again.
That's more fun.
Sure. Yeah. I remember Burning Crusade time frame or maybe even Wrath of Lich King when I was doing arenas and I was playing a healer and it would be at some points it would be like that. You would heal and run around forever.
Like, yeah. And you never run out of mana. You never have like any problems. You just go forever.
Yeah. For sure. If you have to choose between one of the things that isn't fun, I agree that you probably want to choose the one where you're frustrated at one point and you're like, I died this time because I didn't get the initiative or something. And then you queue again, as opposed to each match is 15 or 20 minutes and no one ever dies and you're running around like an idiot trying to chase that stupid druid that keeps, you know, shape-shifting and avoiding your CCs and just getting his mana back up all the time. Yeah, I agree.
Those bastards.
Yeah. So, speaking of RYCP says 25 is the new limit. So
yeah, oh, is
there
it?
You go.
Okay.
25 minutes is now the new limit. Too long.
There's some back and forth with Halinka and a bunch of people on Twitter, but happened to be me as well because I often am the one on this show that's like, PvP's not for me or whatever. But I have been praising Heroes, which in a lot of ways is a very PvP game. There's a lot of similar feel to it to WoW PvP. And his question to me and others was, what's the difference? And I think I figured it out. The WoW PvP is a progression system that is a much longer haul. It's a earn a bunch of points to buy some gear, or it's, you know, win a number of matches, or if it's achievement runs or whatever it is, it's a longer kind of thing. In the other game, it is a 30 minute often is the maximum match time, and I'm literally
that's
going
a
from
long match. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long match, and I'm going from 0 to 20 levels for the most part, sometimes more, but in that time, and that progression is immediate. The results of it are in your hands. You've got your ultimate, and you've got this augmented whatever build you're doing. So I've got Wind Fury maxed out with Thrall or whatever, and I'm doing that in this compressed time frame. And to me, I think that's what wins it for me. And I think that if this is just, I'm throwing this out there without any idea of how, what it would take or what it would mean, but if WoW PvP had more of that for me, more of a this match is a self-contained piece of progression that may have an impact on a larger progression trail of earning gear or whatever it is, but that it was more than just die a lot, kill a lot, I think that I would probably feel the same way about WoW PvP as I do about Heroes of the Storm. I don't know.
Yeah, but then you're just changing the game just too much.
You're entirely right. You're totally right.
WoW. Yeah. I think that, like, if that's the thing that makes Heroes more playable, then Heroes is the game for you, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, because WoW has, you can do braiding, you can do other stuff, but I don't think we'll ever see MOBA style PvP with that sort of during the match progression. Like, you might see some of that where, like, you do kind of see some of that. Like, the team might get stronger, the team might get weaker, the flag carriers get more prone to death. And so, like, you see, like, some stuff progress during a match. But the gear and everything, that's all just too important. I don't think it'll ever.
Mm. I totally
it's
agree.
It's a different kind of way to approach your match. I mean, I can totally understand what you're saying, Scott, about the enticement of that progression during the game. But there's also something to be said for, all right, this is my character that I've built from the ground up, and, you know, I have the gear that I've grinded for, and the build that I like, and this and that, and this is the guy I'm putting to the test. I think there's big value in that as well.
I agree, and obviously,
that being said, they did say they were going to try to do a MOBA map in WoW, I think 2 BlizzCons ago.
Yeah,
they abandoned the idea in the end.
But, yeah, I couldn't get Corey to cough up details on that last time we
talked. You know, like, they could do the MOBA style map. They totally could, where, like, creeps are running down lanes and all that kind of stuff. They could absolutely do that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that they could really do, like, you still need to have your gear and your, yeah, like Patrick was saying,
yeah,
you still need to have your character have been built to this level that it already is.
Yeah.
And then maybe you could tack some progression on after the fact of that.
In a lot of ways, AV has a lot of qualities of a MOBA in some ways, like killing these bosses, taking over these points where
they're just moving down a map. But also the problem is that eventually it was just like a mad dash to the end. And, you know,
you're totally right. I agree with what both of you are saying, but I think I have identified where the disconnect is for me.
What
I think,
feels bad about PvP.
Yeah. And what feels good about, playing Heroes. I think that's
but like,
what it
so is. PvE content is works in a much similar way. I mean, you work with your team to try to kill these things, and you get gear or you don't get gear, right? And like, yeah, maybe you die. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's like I don't see too much of a difference between the two, where like one feels more fun or less fun to me than the other. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to do both of them because they both give me that kind of feeling that I want out of WoW, which is like I'm challenged to try to do something that's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's funny to me that some people just, like, there's this, I don't PvP. Mm-hmm. Like, that attitude. It's like, I don't. It's like, why? Well, it's hard. I don't know. I don't get it. It's like, well, so is PvE. That's hard, too. I die all the time in PvE. Like,
yeah, but the thing is, that's a totally different question, I guess. But the difference between PvE and PvP, I do PvP sometimes on some things, but there is a little bit more of a hit. Because, first of all, you can only, on average, win 50% of the time. Because, you know, one has to win for one has to lose for another one to win, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is working together against a distant incarnate challenge, when you achieve it, it's less frustrating when you don't achieve it. It's a lot less frustrating than somehow you know that there's a guy behind that little character that backstabbed you and, you know, is laughing in his cave somewhere at the other end of the country. The feeling of it is definitely not the same. I completely understand that the working together as a team to overcome a challenge it's a kind of puzzle that you're presented with. And if everyone does what they're supposed to do, you're going to win, no question. Whereas in PvP, there isn't really that feeling of if we all do what we should, we win. There's still, you know, the variable of the guys in front of us might be better. So
right. True. That's and why I definitely understand that, but I also I think people sell themselves a little too short a lot of times, and they say, well, I'm just not good at that or whatever. And I would argue that I fail much more often in PvE in general. Like, we will wipe, you know, 10 to 15 times on something before we ever do it. And then, sure, we kill it the first time every single time after that. Fine.
Right.
That's great. But that's not the fun part of raiding, the part where we're farming. That's not fun. Like, now we're just farming this stuff. Like, I mean, it's fine. It's not like it's not fun. It's fun to hang out with everybody and talk about stupid TV shows and stuff while we farm. But, if you could just remove, just don't think of the guy on the other end as laughing at you when he kills you. Just think, okay, I died. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Don't get so, inside your own head about what just happened. Like, oh, my God, I died. I'm the worst.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I died. Okay, I'll wait 30 seconds at a graveyard, and then I come back and we do it again.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a mindset. It's not literally, I'm raging at my keyboard going, you freaking gnome rogue. It's not, or, you know, goblin rogue in my case, because I play Alliance. For the Alliance.
Right.
I feel very lonely when I say that.
Yeah, you should.
But there is definitely a different feeling when you die to the computer. That's exactly, I guess you're right, Dills. I don't usually get in the feeling of, well, I died, I'm going to try again. For some reason in PvP, it's a lot more intense, which I think is a quality of PvP. That's why people like it. Right, it's a lot more intense. It's your heart races, and you're like, oh, I have to win. It's competitive.
Yeah, well, it's like Unreal Tournament versus bots, or Unreal Tournament versus people. It's the age old.
Yeah, but you don't have to, I'm saying, you can control your own attitude about what it feels like when you die, and if you feel bad when you die. You should probably think about that and go, why do I feel bad? Should I feel bad? I shouldn't feel bad. This is fine. Because I die all the time. Everybody dies all the time. And it's I think a lot of people approach things. And I've had this discussion on the Angry Chicken, because we talked about people wrote in. They were like, I get to a certain rank and then I have rank anxiety, where it's like, I don't want to play because what if I lose? And that's a tough obstacle and a totally real one. And I think it's applicable to the PvP thing too, where it's like, I don't want to play it because what if I'm terrible and I'm a noob and everybody says I'm a noob? It's like, well, they might be saying that, but who cares? You're in your own room with your own whatever, and it doesn't matter. Like, you can, if you can just go in with the attitude that I don't give a crap what some douchebag on the other side of his screen thinks, and I can just go in and say I'm going to try to have fun right now, then you can do that. It's just you have to you know, Day 9 talks about it's hard to be positive all the time. He has to work on that. To play in a positive mental state takes work too. It's not easy, but it's doable.
Sure.
And you can have fun if you just decide, I'm here to have fun. I don't know what all you guys are here to do, but I'm here to have fun.
Yeah.
And you can actually have fun if you do it that way.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, Heroes is making me feel that way. Even if I'm losing bad.
Yeah, if it kind of works that way and makes you feel that way already, then that's...
Yeah,
that's,
even if we're losing terribly, the worst slaughter of all time, I'm still having fun, and I'm fighting to the bitter end, and I'm going to... I don't care how quick they got to my core. I'm gonna pester them. I'm going to irritate them. I'm going to harass them. Like, I'm going to be the player I want to be. And for whatever reason, that's easier for me in there. Hearthstone, I totally get that anxiety that you're talking about. And in PvP WoW, I get the same thing. So I don't know what the difference is. So Holinka, you're listening. You always do. I don't know what the answer is, man. I don't know to give
the
to
small the... victories thing is big. Like if you can play a heroes match, and like we had a heroes match the other day where we didn't kill anybody on the other team. It was terrible. And we were just like getting destroyed. Finally, at the end, we killed Lili while they were killing our core. And we all cheered. We were like,
yeah,
in your face, Lili, yeah. Suck it.
Who cares
like,
about
our
the core?
Is blowing
yeah,
up,
forget
know?
The core. You know, it's Lili is the goal.
That's a really interesting question in game design, actually. There's in Hearthstone, it feels the same to me. And in Titanfall, there was some elements of this as well. In Hearthstone, mostly because, as I was saying earlier, each turn is kind of a small puzzle, and when you manage to solve that puzzle satisfactorily on that turn, it feels like a small victory. On Titanfall, it was the same thing. I don't know if you guys ever played it, but even when you lost, you had that final stage where you had to, you know, to escape the map, and you would have to rush to that escape pod or ship, and if you managed to do that, then it would give you a small victory, and you would be super psyched, even though you had actually lost the match. That small victories things is huge, I think, in competitive games, and maybe there's not enough of them in WoW Battlegrounds.
Yeah, it's very possible, because it's sometimes you just go in, it's like, I just ran in and died, and then I ran in and died, and I ran in and died, and I never ran in and did something cool. You know,
a little bit, yeah.
So that's I could definitely see that for players, and that does suck. Small victories are important.
Yeah, I agree. Well, shifting gears a tiny bit, Zoe Bowie, aka director of the World of Warcraft or the Warcraft film, rather. His name just left me. Why? His real name. I did that as a joke and then forgot his real name. What's wrong with me?
Duncan
Jones. Jeez.
Jones.
Anyway, Duncan Jones seems pretty tired. His tweets are all about how tired he is, and it's because he's in the middle of the CGI phase of final effects and stuff for the film. And just as a little side note, he seems completely floored by what ILM is doing, which seems maybe like an obvious thing because ILM doesn't really make much crap, but I'm more excited about that movie than ever, and I wanted to bring it up for two reasons. One, to
you're like 1 year away or so. Right?
Yeah, about a year away. Yeah. March, right?
Yeah,
I think it's March next year.
It's March 11. I just checked. March 11, 2016.
So a little less than a year.
Oh man!
Until we get there. The reason I bring it up is, how much do you think BlizzCon, which will be much later in the year, and obviously much closer to March by then, how much of BlizzCon do you think will be donated to us getting to see more to have another private screening of some sort? Like, do you think BlizzCon itself will be a big stage for the film, maybe bigger than last year in terms of whatever they're going to show?
Oh, well, they bigger built than that, last year for yeah. sure.
Yeah.
We're going to have big screen. We're going to have trailers and mm-hmm. stuff by then.
Oh, that's true. We should have regular ass, like everyone in the world should have trailers before
yeah.
that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's they'll probably debut some new big trailer.
Right.
Yeah. What they should do is they give us a red band trailer.
That's great. Where everyone just
and
F-bombs.
A blue band trailer. Yeah. Don't be one sided.
Yeah.
For the red band.
Yeah.
But no, they should give us like a big crazy trailer there, and we should all be able to watch it on that like awesome. Because I mean, you guys did the thing last year with the
oh, yeah.
screening where you went and the sound was yeah. incredible and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They should give us an experience like that.
I agree.
That, we'll have that by then for sure.
Hope so. Hope it's really. I just want it to be a real showcase, and I'm sure it will. Me saying it sounds dumb because I'm sure they will. Why wouldn't they? This is a huge deal. That's an audience they want to energize because they're going to influence everyone they know when they leave BlizzCon. Like there's all sorts of beneficial reasons to make a huge splash at that event. And so it's got me to thinking that the real big deals. So my final prediction or my prediction at this stage for BlizzCon is new WoW expansion announced, possibly a big Diablo thing that nobody knows about. That's my secret hope. All the other stuff's kind of a known quantity. There'll be things in beta, out of beta and all that. That's fine. But, and then the third tier of all this, I think is a big focus on the film. And we'll see.
There's a ton. I mean, there's going to be some big Hearthstone news. Going to be Overwatch news. It's going to be.
It's going to be crazy, dude. Like I was saying in Raid last night, they asked me 5 years ago if I would have believed all this was going to be happening at once. I just would have said, you're crazy. It would have been like StarCraft and a little
WoW. We probably won't even be playing WoW then.
Yeah.
We'll probably be moving on to some other companies. Right.
They know they've been really smart with this. Plus, it's not like they're shoveling shit. It's everything is good.
Oh, it's, you know, that I think the biggest surprise of all of it for me in the past 5 years is how awesome they've made free-to-play games. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this on Overwatchers with Garrett. We recorded a new episode with the PAX, the information from PAX. And we're actually looking forward to it being free-to-play. We're hoping it's going to be free-to-play because that model works best, for, in our opinion, for that type of game with lots of characters.
Sure.
And like now, the majority, not the majority, but half of their games are free-to-play. And we're happy about it. It's insane. And all of them are awesome.
Yeah. So I spent $10 on Thrall in a strategic choice. I had the gold, but I thought, all right, well, I could spend actual 10 on Thrall, and then I can take the 10,000 gold, buy Lili at 2 and Tychus at 7. And I did. I mean, it was this great. And to me, I made a great deal. And I never once went, this free-to-play bullshit. Like, they're doing us right in Hearthstone, in Heroes, and hopefully, I think also Overwatch should probably be that
I way. Feel like that's the model that we're going to get with that game. Because, Diablo, you buy the game, then you play forever. It's fine. World of Warcraft, you pay monthly. That seems to be fine for that kind of game. But for all these other kind of games, the free-to-play model just, I think not only do they make more money, but they just bring in more players and get more excitement about the game.
Sure.
And I think in the end, they actually turn more of a profit.
Yeah, and one day.
And it makes feel more active too, because if the game is out, and yes, they can, you pay for it, it's out, and they're going to put out an expansion like 6 months or a year later. Well, in the case of Blizzard, 3 years. But if it's a free-to-play game, then you have updates all the time with new characters and new maps and new skins and new stuff all the time. It keeps the game alive.
Mm-hmm. Fresh.
That's
fresh, like, I don't know. My underwear. All right, what are we doing?
Like a prince?
Like the Fresh Prince, yeah.
Fresh like a prince.
Nicely done.
So we may be seeing, though, too, that World of Warcraft, you can be almost a free-to-play player at some point here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
It might be where we go, hey, StarCraft and Diablo, what's taking you so long?
Yeah.
Be free.
Yeah, it may be. I don't know. I've always said if Diablo wanted to just give me piecemeal content, I'd probably be interested in that. Give me a new class that I could.
If you just bought like a season pass, or you bought
What would you get for the money?
Well,
though,
like a character, Diablo, like a brand new class,
like another character slot and another character. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
stuff like that. Like,
there's ways they could work, I think.
Or specialized content, like bounties now have 20 more areas, or there's a whole new zone, or there's a lot of stuff like that. I'd be willing to do that way rather than wait forever for an expansion, but. I have an idea. Yeah.
They put up like to monetize with small, microtransactions. They put up an auction house and allow players to sell and buy items.
That's a terrible idea. I don't think they should do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Too bad.
I hope they never do. It is weird though, right? Like what's the Diablo 3 teams' motivation to put out new content right now?
Right now, it's to support a very happy base.
I think they're still selling games.
They're still selling copies of the game.
But if I put out like the seasonal content, do you think they sold a whole bunch? Like, do you think they moved a bunch of units because they put out seasons?
No,
I don't think they did at all. I think they maybe like people just maybe bought it because they're like, oh yeah, I should play Diablo.
I mean, I think their model probably, this is just me thinking about their traditional model and how it crosses over. I think their model is more expansions more often. And so my current hope is a new expansion announced at BlizzCon and a graphical bump. Because not that game looks bad at all, but Heroes makes it look kind of bad. I mean, they've improved things since then.
Yeah,
2012 was a while ago, and maybe time to tweak that thing out. So I wouldn't mind more of a WoW approach, not with the monthly, but with big content releases at $49 more often. I would be all in that. Like every year, if I got a new expansion every year from that game, I'd poop myself. It'd be amazing. Probably not going to happen, but we'll see. I really don't know what the strategy is. It's a weird one. It's the weird one out. It's a great game.
It's that's the thing. It's like Diablo and StarCraft to like on the similar path where it's like, unless we put an expansion out, how are we squeezing money out of this game anymore?
Great point.
Well, I think if they add, you know, small patches or they tweak things here and there, they keep the community happy, which in turn, you know, keeps the game alive and tells people about the game. And so they sell more of them, I'm guessing. But certainly it's not.
But at some point that becomes more of a trickle than a, like there's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's a big burst of sales when the game actually comes out. And then now it's okay, we're making X amount.
I also think they're going to expand their console business and do more things there. That was a very successful game on console. Did really well. Ultimate Evil Edition by itself even was a huge seller. So
I'm just saying, you look at like games that they like the free to play game, like Hearthstone's the free to play game where it's like there's constantly reasons to spend money. Yeah, you know, even players who already have the game downloaded are going, oh my god, I'm $25 to pre-buy this. I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah.
There's constantly reasons to throw some cash at that game.
Yeah, fair enough. Well
it's
said.
Actually, it's a quick tip. It's at least in Europe, the Blackrock Mountain expansion for Hearthstone is cheaper if you buy it on the web or on a PC or Mac than if you buy it on the iPad.
Oh, so,
yeah, they had some changes there were some changes because of the changes in currencies in other countries.
That was a while ago, though.
When they did that, they made some changes to how the whole system works, and now you can actually have things be a different price.
That was a while back because Apple didn't allow for different prices on the iPad their iOS devices and outside of them. But apparently that changed. A lot of people answered on Twitter, told me, no, it changed 2 years ago. You knew, but I was like, okay, sorry.
Yeah,
but yeah, it is cheaper I think just for you guys. I don't think it's cheaper for Americans.
Not in the U.S.
Oh, no, okay. Yeah. Our dollar is our dollar.
Yeah, we're Americans. Damn it! a couple of quick small things. Deathwing is now in Skyrim. Download this mod. It's actually pretty rad. Somebody modeled Deathwing as dragon skins. Yeah,
it's so pretty.
It's really well done. It's not some crappy deal, and it's.
I actually finally downloaded that game to my PC, and now I have a reason to play it. Okay.
I love that game. I will always love Skyrim in a way that is it's a game of the ages. It's so fantastic, and the fact that I can now fight Deathwing on the regular because he's all these dragons.
But you have to fight him with arrows,
right?
It seems so weak.
There's no jumping across, or there's no peeling scabs off his back in this fight.
I can't jump on his back and like shoot, you know, some other thing, and then. Make them flip and turn in the air.
Point break style, none of that.
People were complaining about that fight as it was, you know, being played. But I think now people are going to keep an image of epicness as time goes by. And they're like, you were actually fighting on his back and there were stuff coming out and the fire elementals and you had to peel off the things. And it did feel very epic.
It was amazing. That was still one of my most memorable things I ever did with a group in that game.
Except yet somehow it's less epic than just running around on a platform fighting the Lich King. I don't know.
That's true.
That was more epic, right?
I know getting on his back
was cool, but man, when you killed the Lich King, that was amazing.
And like,
killing Deathwing did not give me that same feeling.
Yeah. No, that's true.
It was more intense.
But creatively speaking, though, like to say, well, you could just fight this dragon on the ground like a bunch of dummies, like always. Or
you could stand there shooting arrows at him.
Or you could land on his back.
And I agree with what Patrick said, that that's an epic moment in WoW history. But
and it has such a great connection to the cinematic from the expansion itself, where those things are being applied to him, they're being attached, and now that armor, it gets torn off, and here are his weaknesses. It just had such a great homage to even just video game tropes of shoot for the weak spot in Zelda games or whatever. I thought that was really rad. But you're right. That night we killed the Lich King, nothing like it. Yeah. That was an amazing time.
Above the Deathwing kill by quite a bit for me.
I went and did
that. By the way, man, a Deathwing character in Heroes is going to be insane.
Yeah.
turning into a, like, it'll be, it's got to be like his human form that then turns into like a big Deathwing dragon and just like destroys everything in his path.
He'll be like a human aspect for a while and then you pop
that ultimate.
Oh my gosh, dude. Don't
or
even.
They inspire, they get inspired from the Hearthstone card, and when you turn into Deathwing, you just kill everyone.
Kill everything.
Your team on the,
your
team,
their team, all teams, everyone's dead.
Old creep, everything.
And I'll say this, like, we don't give enough credit for this because I don't play so many other characters, but the StarCraft elements, the characters and their abilities in that game are really neat. Like the tank, the freak, what's her name? The
Sergeant Hammer.
Sergeant Hammer.
That's my jam, dude.
What
That's
she
what
does,
last night.
She's freaking she's great. But even just like Zagara and her crazy creep usage and the stuff she's spawning, they've done great homage to every franchise in there. And, whatever opportunities I can take on the show to sing its praises, I will, because there I go again. Finally, there's a new World of Warcraft short story out. It's called Code of Rule, and it deals with this whole Grimash Hellscream working with the freaking Heimal guys and all that stuff. So if you want to get more kind of what's going on with Imperator Margok and what deal has he made with the devil himself, Grom Hellscream.
What's the deal with Imperator Margok?
What's going on? He's got two heads. What's the deal? That whole thing is in a short story. It's on the official site right now, so you can go check that out. Awesome. Read it to your content. All right, we're going to do...
You can download it as a PDF.
Yeah, as a PDF, which is cool. Isn't there a new comic coming, too? There's some new comic. Crap. We need to get Mickey on here again and talk about some of that stuff, because I always love that. All right, let's get to some calls. Got some quick ones. Here you go.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Town Criers, where you send in your calls and your emails. The calls come to us at 801-471-0462 or in the form of attachments to theinstance@gmail.com. Again, that number is 801-471-0462. It's all calls today, and we start with the idea of selling mounts.
Hey, Instance Group. This is Nate from Illinois. Just had a question about the tokens. Do you feel like that would be the next step is to... purchase a mount and be able to put it, or one of the mounts in store in the game store, and put that on sale for whatever that equivalent would be for gold as well. So I just wanted to see your thoughts. Love the show, proud Patreon. Keep it up.
Basically, they did this with that pet. Same deal, right? What was the pet? Crap. What was the pet?
I can't remember. Some sort of cub,
pug, or cub. Oh, cub. Right. Shit.
I can't remember it either.
Anyway, but they did this exact same experiment. And so what he's describing is really that. And we kind of touched on it last time we talked about this whole gold for game time and, this entire initiative that they're doing. To me, it makes sense that eventually other items in the game might be buyable/sellable on the auction house, tradable toward game time, that sort of thing. I don't see any reason why that couldn't happen right away. Probably not, I don't think they're in a rush to do that.
Maybe, but I think the big question is how, every time you introduce another variable like this and link in-game economy to real world currency, I think you're introduced the opportunity for loopholes and possibility of people abusing this. So I guess we'll see how it works out with the token. But the reason... they're doing it with the token, I think, is that they actively want to have that system, which is converting money into gold. I'm not sure what selling a mount would achieve would make better. What's the point?
It would just be another way. You're right. There is no real point, I think. The point being that here's another way you could do it, and that's about it.
Oh, I guess maybe for people who don't have real money and who want to get the mount that is only available when you pay real money, maybe that's something that would be interesting to them.
I suppose so, because it'd be another thing you'd want in the game. Your focus is on mount collecting, and so
maybe
that's one way to do it.
Yeah,
I suppose.
It seems a bit niche, though. I'm not sure I would see it happening, but maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. What a new class might mean to the game.
Hi, Scott, Dills, Terpster, and Patrick. I was just thinking the other day about something that is going to be coming up soon. Oh, not soon, obviously. When a new expansion comes out, do you think we'll ever see a new class in any other expansion now with the whole 90 boost only costs $60. Because if we get a new class, it's kind of 90 levels can just become nothing for people who want to just make the class level 90. So do you guys think that maybe in the future we'll see new classes, or do you think since this boost came out, we're not going to really see new classes anymore? Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Well, it is the perennial question, isn't it? When are new classes coming out? It's usually every other expansion. So we're due, dude. Do you think we'll get one?
It feels like it's time.
Yeah.
It's always a little bit more challenging. I could see it happening that we would see another expansion without a class, possibly. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But about the level 90 boost thing, they can restrict it. They can say for the first, 2 weeks or month or whatever, or even the first week, you can't boost your new class.
Yeah.
And that's just to, so that's the first people who get to level cap, did it the right way and the real way and whatever, and the people who can wait just a little bit more. But on the other hand, I suppose you don't want to frustrate your players. If what the player wants to do is play that new class and it's super, what they're looking forward to, and they also want to play with all of their friends who are at max level, you don't want to tell them no and hit them over the head and tell them you have to wait, you scrub.
Right.
So I don't know.
Scrub. I've never heard you call anyone a scrub.
I mean, let me ask you guys this. Do you think that the game needs another class?
No, but part of me wants one.
We're going to get one anyway at some point.
I mean, I don't think it needs one, but I kind of think... I want one because I want to do some new stuff. That is fun for me to try.
Well, I don't think it would hurt the game to get one. Obviously, there's balance issues, but you're talking about going from 11 to 12. I don't know if that's going to cause too much of a problem.
Yeah.
And... I think one new race, one new class, every other expansion, will be good to go.
I'm down with that. That pattern works.
I think the more difficult question for a new class is, can they make something completely different and original? That's the bigger difficulty there. Because after a while, when you have, there are only so many ways that you can play the game. If you get to, it could get either too complicated, too convoluted, or reminiscent of other classes, which makes it a little bit less fun. They have clever people there. I'm guessing they could find a way.
They'll figure it out. They're smart. Patrick, before I play this last call, someone sent this in.
But I need to tell you something.
Really, 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 really.
There you go. Some proper mix.
Well, it captures my feelings for you, Scott, marvelously.
That was really well done. Thank you. Let's see who sent that. Conrad Presson made that. No relation.
They actually do some auto-tuning to that or something?
I don't think they auto-tuned it. I don't think they auto-tuned it, but they definitely cut her voice out for the really, really parts, which is good because nobody wants that. Here's Patrick. Here's Patrick without any augmentation.
Really, really.
Okay, so that's what they used. It's pretty good.
It seems like this is not me speaking. It feels very strange.
That sounds exactly like you.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Then
nailed it.
I want that to be our ringtone, actually.
That's pretty good. All right, final call about lifetime subs. Here you go.
Hey, this is Van Guck. I'm an undead mage from Thrall Servo. I have a question regarding last week's episode where the female called in regarding the yearly subscription to WoW. I'm just wondering if perhaps WoW would benefit, or Blizzard would benefit, from offering a lifetime subscription, such as Lord of the Rings Online did when they launched a few years ago. Do you think Blizzard would benefit from this? Players would benefit from this? Do you think it would be great for the community? I'd just love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Love the show, guys.
The problem is, like, most of those things are like $200 or $250 or sometimes maybe $300. I know that Star Trek Online did that for, I think, $200 was a lifetime one.
Wow.
That's too low.
Game did that.
Yeah, but it's too low. Oh. I mean, actually, Star Trek Online's gotten a little better, but it's also free now, so I don't know what those people ended up getting out of that deal. But
I tried downloading that game just to see.
Yeah.
And I just played like 2 minutes of it. It was like, nope. I think maybe it gets good after the third minute, but oh my god,
it's okay. I think it's an okay MMO. It's definitely third tier. Okay. Like, there's nothing about it. If you're a big Star Trek dude and you want an MMO that has Star Trek in it, I think that's your game. But there's no reason for you and I to want to play that, I think. But the idea of a lifetime subscription, I think that what Blizzard has proven is that people will pay a lot more than $200 for their time with the game. For them to make it worth it, it'd have to be like, I don't know, $800 maybe for a lifetime or something. Then maybe.
Yeah, it seems to me more like this would just be like a status thing, you know? Like people could say, I'm a lifetime subscriber.
Yeah.
But would Blizzard make more money because of it? No. Would you save money from it? Maybe.
Yeah.
If it, like, game lasts that long, you want to play that long.
Yeah.
But I don't see any reason for them to do this. Like, they're making money. Yeah. They're making plenty of money.
It's the same argument as, why don't they go free to play? Well, because they don't.
Because they're making lots of money.
Yeah. When they need to
I
do that.
10 years ago.
Why don't you go free to play at your job? Yeah, I'll just come into my job for free, you guys. Yeah. I'll just do this, you know? Good. Bye.
Yeah, I think 10 years ago that this conversation might have been a little bit different because the idea that an MMO would last for this long with that much success was very foreign to us.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, if you would have said 10 years ago, well, you get $200 or $300 in your pocket right now, you're like, well, yes, maybe, please do that. But now, obviously, Blizzard is looking at it, and $200 is not even 2 years' worth of subscription. So even if people are subscribing for 3-4 months in a row now and maybe unsubscribing and coming back, and on the long run, if the game lasts for another 10 years, which is entirely possible.
Sure.
I don't know why my voice went that high.
Right, I don't know. Now. It really went
you
high.
You say it's really, really possible?
I'd say really,
really. Really, really.
All right, go ahead.
It's entirely possible. And yeah, and so yeah, money. It's not worth it.
Yeah, it's because not worth of money. It. Why would they?
There's
they're not gonna.
They don't do this. Money.
Yeah, I love Dills. You had the perfect. That's the perfect comparison. I'm not gonna go into work and go. I'm coming in free now.
Yeah.
If you guys want to donate,
you know, guys, in this scenario, why don't you pay me per, you know,
micro.
In this
break.
Scenario, right. It would be all right, Dills. We have a deal for you. We're gonna pay you $10,000 today. And then you work for us for the rest of your life. For
there you go. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I get to have $10,000 right now?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's not
you
exactly.
Know what I could do with $10,000?
It's not exactly a direct comparison, but I think it's the right point. And this isn't to, obviously, we're not mocking the caller because I think it's an interesting proposition and a lot of other
sure.
games
oh, no,
have
yeah,
tried
sure.
it. But once yeah. again, it just feels like Blizzard has established a lead that doesn't need these other things. The reason these other things exist in other games is because they can't compete where Blizzard dominates, so they have to come up with creative solutions to work around it. And this is a workaround that they don't need. This is what you would say to other people. Say, you know, hey, Lord of the Rings Online, you need to do that, although they just went free subscription. But and by the way, that's made me want to check it out again. That actually kind of works. You know, it's like, oh, there's no sub, I'll try it. Like, there's that kind of thing can work, but it doesn't.
It does.
It works in the shadow of WoW.
It does, but the reason why you don't do it as World of Warcraft is because you have 10 million subscribers. And if you do free-to-play, you literally have to replay. And I've said this on the show tons of times. All the people who want this game to go free-to-play understand that if you were running a company where you had 10 million people paying you an average of, what, $12 a month? You're going
no,
to have
the-
to...
Asians pay
that.
Less, but
sure, whatever. I
mean, yeah,
that's racist, but you'll have to replace it. You're gonna have to replace that amount of money every month with your new free to play thing. So that doesn't ever make sense until they're making a ton less money.
Yeah,
once they're making a ton less money,
yeah,
then maybe it makes sense because it's like, okay, can we make more money if we go free to play? Yeah. That's the case where it would happen.
But we promise to continue to, there. About once a quarter, we will bring this issue up. We will talk about it again.
Yeah, don't worry, you guys. Yeah. We'll talk about it. We're putting on the clock now.
Yeah, we got you covered. Don't worry.
3 months from now, we'll talk about it again.
Do not worry.
Actually, did any of you guys try ESO, Tamriel?
Not
Limited,
yet, no. I'm going
yeah,
to.
Yeah, because now that's free. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going
to. Yeah, well, it's... You buy the box, but you don't
you buy the
have
box,
to pay
but you don't pay for it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
if anyone already had the box or an account, I'm guessing you can. Play
yeah, yeah. Veronica like was into it for a while. We were just talking the other day. She has it still, and she rolls over, so she just doesn't pay a subscription anymore. For those who want to get in now, you do. Basically, the model they've adopted is the Guild Wars 2 model. It's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine.
Actually, that game is doing really well right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's doing
great. I
don't
know if you've logged into that game recently, but it's cool.
It is cool. It's a great, that was my favorite, maybe my still favorite secondary.
Because you don't have to play really that well all done. The time. Yeah. You can really just kind of pop in there every now and then and still have a good time.
Sure. It's a good game.
I feel like if I popped into like SWTOR right now, I would just be like, nope, I don't know what to do. Too much going on. Too much has changed.
Yeah.
Game I can pop into every
Some people are excited about where SWTOR is these days, but I kind of have the same feeling. And I think that's their problem. They need to figure out how to have me not have that problem or that feeling. But for whatever reason, Guild Wars had a good launch. They had a good experience for me. I had a really good time with it. So they've earned some currency with me. So when their expansion comes out.
You're not missing stuff when you log in, right? Like you're not like, oh, I can't do something unless I buy this thing.
Right.
Like that's not how it works.
It's all cosmetics.
It's always going to be fine.
It's cosmetics and some boosters and the initial cost of the game and then no subscription. It's a pretty good model. I like that quite a bit.
You go over to SWTOR right now and you're like, oh, I can't do the high-end raid unless I pay money. Oh,
yeah.
Well, what's the point of leveling my character then?
Is Rift still happening? I don't know if that's on still, that game.
Yeah, it's still gone. Is it? I don't know who's playing it anymore, but
yeah, I haven't heard much.
Nobody I know is playing it anymore.
That thing gave a good first impression, but petered for me after a while.
I think Rift was the one where I felt the most like they took WoW and made an exact replica of it.
Yeah,
it was like systems and design, and it felt very, very WoW.
Talent
except
tree.
For the rifts that were appearing.
Sure, and the graphics were pretty good at the time, but very much so. It was like Game Loft, almost in a way, with Blizzard games. That, like, they swooped in and said, here is a clone. Enjoy our clone. Mm-hmm. And the story kind of blew, and I think that was where I kind of checked out. You realize when you play a game like that how important the WoW lore has gotten in your heart, even if you don't know every tiny corner of it. The overarching story arcs and characters mean a lot more than you probably realize until you see some other games attempt at that, and they often don't do as well. Anyway, there you go. That's our emails. That's our calls. If you'd like to send an email or call in, you can do it easily, 801-471-0462 or theinstance at gmail.com. It's going to do it for this episode of the show. Patrick, I got to ask you a question before you give us any kind of pimpy you want to do here. How do you feel about that movie with Adam Sandler taking the name of your video game show and using it for the title of their film? How's that feel?
I didn't want to say it. You know, I didn't want to bring it up, but since you did, I did get a pretty hefty chunk of money out of that deal. So
great.
I understand it is selling out, and I said I would never do it. But at some point, you know, it's just like it's like Mojang, you know, it's like Minecraft. The money is just too good, man. Uh-huh. If Notch can do it, then I can do it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how I feel.
That's true.
I feel like it's basically the lifetime subscription thing. They came to me and they're like, all right, we can pay you $2 million now. And we do the movie. And I was like, all right, whatever.
Deal. You said deal. Make me a deal.
As long as you use a giant Pac-Man in New York. Is it New York?
In New York, I think. I think so. Futurama does
it. As long as you do that, I'm fine with it.
All right. We'll find that at FrenchSpin.com and many other cool podcasts and things going on. Anything else you want to mention?
Well, I guess the Overwatchers episode I was talking about earlier with Garrett, we went over everything that was announced at PAX for Overwatchers and everything else. No, Pixels and the Felix Club, which you'll be on next week, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That'll be fun. Yeah. Talking world politics and the important business, man. Not all this video game shit, like real stuff. Not Patrick on Twitter, of course. Dills, anything? What do you got going on? What's going on?
Mostly just the stream right now. So people come check out the stream, twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF, and be doing more stuff, like more stuff on the weekends, more stuff like earlier, not super late.
Yeah.
And also, if you're in the San Francisco area, come by game night every other Tuesday for a Hearthstone tournament.
Nice.
It's the first and third Tuesdays of every month. It's at Folsom Street Foundry. We start at like 7:30, but people come in around 6 or so. That's when it actually starts. And if you just like games, like that's just a super fun thing to do. Jury and Ashley came by a couple weeks ago. Then Ashley came again.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's a place they're going to want to go all the time, is my guess.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the Night Attack is on Tuesday night, so Jury can't make it all the time. But
gotcha.
Ashley was like, no, I'm just going to come here every week now.
Yeah, seems like
it's super fun.
Seems like their thing. I cannot explain what it feels like to see Jury playing a video game on the regular of any kind, let alone Hearthstone. It's amazing.
He loves the Hearthstone, man. We had a blast hanging out the other night, and looking forward. Like, I think we're gonna do some stuff. Like WrestleMania is here in the Bay Area,
yeah,
so
yeah.
And he's into wrestling too, like me. So we're gonna go check out some. We're gonna do some fun wrestling type activities.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which will probably involve booze.
You two wrestling naked. Got it.
Heard it here
first.
Sure. That could happen.
Heard it here first, everybody. Well, cool. Willie Dill's on Twitter, of course. And what we should do when I do this NVIDIA thing, we should do a night where I pull your stream in to my stream, because you can do that. I can embed your stream in my stream.
Don't cross the streams, man.
And then he can like school whoever he's playing, whether it be me or somebody else, and you can see both sides of the business. That'd be fun. Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. As time goes on, again, that Twitch stream is this weekend, the starting one. It's every Saturday, 3-hour block. It's called Experience Points. It's hosted by me, and there'll be a bunch of cool friends there. And it is at twitch.tv/NVIDIA when you're not watching Dills. What else? That's it, I think. Oh, vote for us at the Podcast Awards. I keep forgetting to mention it on this show. We're up for an award in the video game category. It's a very competitive group. But we could win. We've won years past. It'd be nice if we won again. Go to podcastawards.com. You have until the 24th. You can vote every day if you haven't been already. And thanks to those who have. I guess that's it. Theinstance.net is our website. Our Twitter accounts are notpatrick, the_T, Willie Dills, and me, Scott Johnson. And, of course, The Instance can be found at Instance Show on Twitter. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. Big thanks to our Paul Swickard, our intern. And if you want more good shows, go check them out at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, who's not here, for Patrick, and for Dills, who is here. We'll see you next time.
I miss Terpster.
Oh.
I don't.
The timing of that made me laugh. I don't know why.
Suffering City seeks sightseeing surge. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. Adventurers in Azeroth have often been compared to a plague of locusts. They eagerly devour the content of a region, but as soon as the next expansion is released, they move on, leaving in their wake a deserted ghost town populated by depressed quest givers and the occasional alt that's leveling up. One such lonely place is the city of Shatrath, central hub of the Outlands. In its day, the crush of Horde and Alliance visitors there would bring all but the mightiest of graphics cards to its knees. But now the only sounds heard there are the soft tinkle of the narrow Adal's voice and the wind whistling through the spires. With the summer vacation season fast approaching, the Shatrath City Council has decided to go all out in an attempt to lure tourists back to the fair city. Popular musical and comedy acts have been booked into the World's End Tavern, safari trips to Nagrand, ecotourism excursions to Netherstorm's Ecodomes, and archaeological digs to Auchendown are all set up and ready to go. And most importantly, the council has convinced the competing factions in town to put aside their differences in order to present an attractive environment for city visitors. The campaign kicks off tomorrow with the following slogan: Come to Shatrath, where all doors are open, and repeat visitors can earn great rewards through our frequent Scryer program. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hi, this is Pat Crane from Convert to Raid, and this week we had a special guest on, Affinity, healer for the number one U.S. guild, Midwinter. So now you've been going Resto Druid, right?
That is correct.
And what do you think of Resto Druid right now? I want you to tell the truth because, you know, I play Resto Druid, I'm on the show every week, nobody listens to me.
I think on average I've got like a 40-60% overheal, which is stupid.
I know.
So stupid.
I know.
Fix it. Look at my overhealing and tell me how I can overheal less.
Thank you.
All right, Zuggers.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I am now officially off the hook. Enlighten me. What's going on with Mythic?
It was weird this tier where basically every fight was more of a mechanics and personal responsibility and strat issue, which is a huge shift from their norm of like, okay, you know, you get two more resets of gear, the boss becomes easier, you kill the boss. It's like in 2 weeks, those mechanic checks are still there. Chromog was good. I don't know. It doesn't really go to the healer model, though, because it's kind of like, okay, these breaths are going to come out and they're going to kill you.
Do you want to get into that whole discussion, too? The whole healer model thing?
I'm going to say no. For the rest of us non-healers over here, no thank you.
We also talked about the upcoming item changes, BlizzCon 2015, and so much more. And it's all on Convert to Raid, the podcast for raiders in the World of Warcraft. And now you can find our audio and our videos at ConvertToRaid.com. Thanks.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra. your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, should I take a selfie with my red team before or after we attack the boss? The timing and appropriateness of selfies is a very important discussion to have with your red team. After all, how would you like it if all the healers decided to get together for a photo op right when Blackhand unleashes an impaling throw at your tank? Once resurrected, I am sure the tank would have some specific feedback for those healers. It is probably best to leave the picture-taking up to the mages. After all, they can get in the best position for a nice group action selfie, then blink away to safety, getting the picture and the kill. I suppose you could let a paladin take the selfie, then bubble hearth, but paladins have such a lousy sense of direction. He's just as likely to stumble into a pub as he is to find the raid entrance again. I am Miss Bulgrim, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!